Thursday Book Club. Well, have you been neglecting your reading? And the thought is the thought maybe of sitting through a massive novel, a little daunting, or maybe there's five unfinished books on your bedside table. If you've been missing that sensation of finishing a story, finding out what happens at the end, then this one's definitely for you. We're going to rekindle your passion for reading with our short story book club. And to help us, we're chatting to Dr. Sasha Morrell from the University of New England. Hello, Sasha.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well. Thank you for joining us again this morning.
No worries.
So we're starting with the story of An Hour, the tale of a fairly sickly wife who has an unusual situation happen to her. What's the brief synopsis you can give us?
Well, Kate Chopin, the author of this story, is a 19th century American writer, best known for her novel The Awakening. And I'd say this short story is very much about an awakening. In its opening, we find this main character, Louise Mallard, who has a heart condition, being gently told the news that her husband has been killed in a train accident. Now, despite the efforts of her loved ones to tell her this gently, Mrs. Mallard bursts into a storm of tears, weeping with wild abandonment, and she then flees to her room, where she locks herself in and sits motionless, gazing out this open window with dull eyes. And then we get a surprise. I'm not sure if all of your listeners will have had a chance to read the story. Could I perhaps read a short excerpt from it?
Yeah, we'd love to hear it.
Fantastic. So this is where she's locked herself in her room and she's staring out that window. There was something coming to her, and she was waiting for it, fearfully. What was it? She did not know. It was too subtle and elusive to name. But she felt it creeping out of the sky, reaching toward her through the sounds, the scents, the colour that filled the air. Now her bosom rose and fell tumultuously. She was beginning to recognise this thing that was approaching to possess her, and she was striving to beat it back with her will, as powerless as her two white hands would have been. When she abandoned herself, a little whispered word escaped her slightly parted lips. She said it over and over under her breath. Free! 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 The vacant stare and the look of terror that had followed it went from her eyes. They stayed keen and bright. Her pulses beat fast, and the coursing blood warmed and relaxed every inch of her body. Okay, so at this point...
What an extraordinary turnaround. Who would have thought that?
I think, you know, Chopin is completely subverting the reader's expectations. We realise that far from being completely stricken and paralysed with grief, as it appeared, Louise is actually experiencing this intense elation at being free of her husband so she can, in the story's words, live for herself.
So why did you pick this one for us, Sasha?
Well, it's interesting because Chopin was something of a short story specialist. She wrote about 100 short stories in the 1890s. And this is a really superb example, I think, of the dramatic compression that the form can offer. It describes an action that takes place in just an hour. And the whole thing, listeners will be glad to hear, can be read in under 10 minutes. So that's wonderful. Read aloud in under 10 minutes even. So it's just, and so within that, nonetheless, we get not one, but two major plot twists. Now, the first twist that we have is that moment we just heard, where we realise that Louise is experiencing not grief, but that joyous
elation. Yeah.
Yes. And then we get the second twist, because as Louise is led downstairs from her bedroom, who should walk in at the front door but her husband? And the report of his death is proven false. He wasn't on that train after all. And very dramatically, Louise drops dead at the sight of him. And the final sentence tells us, ironically, of another false report, as the doctors said that at the sight of her husband alive, she had died of heart disease, of joy that kills. Okay, so tragicomic in a way.
Wow, how extraordinary. What a clever creation in such a short space of time. So it seems that the short story is importantly, it needs an incredible structure. What is it about this and how it works?
Oh, well, okay, so Chopin herself was critical of what she called the old-fashioned mechanism and stage trapping of many magazine short stories. She published hers in magazines. They often relied on a carefully crafted plot and often had a pretty gimmicky plot twist, that sort of sting in the tail. I think what she's doing in this story is kind of using those conventions but subverting them, because this is a short story that's really very short, but within that short span manages to have not one but those two totally disorienting twists, and it's really quite over the top in that way. But at the same time, those twists, they're not gimmicky. Rather, I think she's using them to make this very deep statement about female repression. She herself said that she admired fiction that captured human existence in its subtle, complex, true meaning, stripped of the veil of ethical and conventional standards. Mm. And I think she's using those twists in that way here, I think.
So what about the themes that she tackles, marriage and...
Yeah, yeah. Well, marriage absolutely is so important in this story. And I think if those plot twists remain somewhat shocking now, you can imagine how shocking they would have been to Chopin's original audience. You know, that joy that Louise feels at her husband's death is so completely at odds with the 19th century cult of domesticity based on the ideal of woman as a virtuous wife and mother. Yeah, I think what's especially shocking is that we're told Louise's husband had never looked save with love upon her. Okay, and he's always kind and tender, we're told, but that he did have a powerful will that bent hers. So it seems to be a suggestion that marriage is inherently constricting for women, I think. Mm. Interestingly, Kate Chopin first began writing fiction after her husband's death on her doctor's advice. So some kind of release for her too, I think.
What a curious turnaround. So how important then would you say is perspective in this story from where the story is told?
Well, I think it's perspective that makes possible the twists in the story, and it's really a very, very significant thing. You know, Chopin wrote in her first novel, which was called At Fault, about the difficulty of reconciling our outward existence with our inward life. And I'd say that's really key in this story. The reader, you know, you and I, we have access to Louise's inner life and her thoughts, and the other characters don't. So when her sister's leading her downstairs from the bedroom, Louise carries herself, we read, like a goddess of victory. But that's just not how it appears from the outside. You know, her sister thinks she's still frozen by grief. Yeah.
Dr. Sacha Morell's with us on ABC New England Northwest, our short storybook club for you this Thursday morning. If you're intrigued, the book is by Kate Chopin, and The Story of an Hour is the title. Doesn't take very long to read. Doesn't even take an hour, so there you go.
Less than 10 minutes.
So we're going to rekindle your passion for reading with these incredible short stories. It seems, Sasha, that every sentence counts in this story. You know, every word is crucial. No word is wasted. There's no, you know, faffing around. How does she do it?
It's pretty incredible. She doesn't get bogged down, I think, in extraneous details, things that don't have a bearing on the plot. Although she does indulge in some beautiful description of the spring scenery, which adds, you know, symbolically, I think, to the impression of renewal and release. But also, I just think she does have a real knack for capturing the complexity of a mood in a minimum of words. You could look at the moment in this story where we read, Louise did not stop to ask if it were or were not a monstrous joy that held her. So much is encapsulated in that little phrase, monstrous joy. And even the opening sentence, so much is compressed there. Knowing that Mrs. Mallard was afflicted with a heart trouble, great care was taken to break to her as gently as possible the news of her husband's death. We know everything in the opening sentence, you know, her heart condition, her marital status, the reported death, it's all there. Yeah.
I think it's just fascinating because I think we think we're the owners of, you know, short communication now with social media. But, you know, here's proof that it's certainly been around for a long time. And this is masterful compared to what nonsense we mostly put on Facebook, you know.
Well, absolutely. Interestingly, there's one critic who's written about this story. His name's Jeremy Foote. And he says, what is perhaps really remarkable is not so much, you know, maybe what kills her is not the emotions she goes through, but how rapidly she has to go through them. And this story it's about rapid communication, because it's about the rail network and the telegram. You know, the telegraph, which is that rapid, perfunctory mode of communicating, and very much like the SMS to us today. So I think, yeah, today, in the age of 24-hour news and scrolling Twitter feeds and too much information before we have a chance to process it, it's still so relevant.
Yeah, how extraordinary. So what would you say about this book? How does it fit into our short story book club, Sasha?
Well, I think it helps to introduce us to what some of the particular particular enchantments of the short story format, and what can be some of the deceptive, you know, complexities and riddles that the form can cast for us? You might think, oh, short equals easy. No, short equals short, and hey, it lets us rekindle our passion for reading, as you've been saying. But by the same token, it can puzzle you. And I think even for us as academics, maybe more than any other prose form, you know, the novel with its grand architecture, its inevitable patterning and deep characterization, we don't have that with the short story. We have, you know, evocative moments and mysteries. There's always some indigestible remainder we just can't break down with our systems of classification.
I love that. That's a gorgeous way of thinking about it, an indigestible remainder. I love it. All right, Sasha, so thank you for that this morning. So the story of an hour, it's a very easy to consume. Now, our next book that you've selected for us is a James Joyce.
Yes.
Now, people might have been quite alarmed by that in the short story section.
Yeah, no need to go and read the whole of Ulysses if you haven't got time to read a 1,000-page modernist novel. This is a short story from his wonderful collection, Dubliners, and it is sad and beautiful, and it's a coming-of-age story. It's full of that kind of mystery and that sort of nagging, evocative beauty, but at the same time, it packs a punch with real, raw emotion.
Yeah. Right, so it's Araby, is that it?
Yes, Araby is the name.
Araby from the Dubliners, James Joyce. So pick that up or find it at the library, have a read of it. I think you can download them on your iPad if you want to as well, or your smart tablet or whatever you want to use, the term you want to use. But if you want a list of the books that we're going to read, they're all online, abc.net.au/New England. And Sasha will be joining us again in around a month's time. So plenty of time to read.
plenty of time.
If you're time poor. Sasha, I'm so glad we got this off the ground. Thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you so much. Cheers. I'll see you next time.
Okay,
bye.
Great.